This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, coming to you a couple of days after the narrow 1-0 defeat up at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Still seems a little bit pinch yourself to think we've come away, as I said, just a narrow defeat. But we're still pinching ourselves as well that we didn't really give that game a go, I don't think. And we'll also be looking forward to the visit of Newcastle United, the team that is in the most form in the Premier League this season, well, in the last few weeks at least, and a team that we need to give a little bit of payback after the defeat up at St James's Park earlier in the season. Joining me this afternoon is Lewis Holmes. How are you, Lewis? You all right, mate?
Very good, thank you, Dave. I'm enjoying the Easter sunshine and I'm looking forward to what should be a very good game tomorrow. The midweek disappointment is behind me. This season was all about sort of improving on last season, and we've done a better showing of ourselves against Man United. 4-1 aggregate over the two games. So we put the disappointment of midweek behind us and we move on to, as I say, a very interesting game tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from the white knuckle ride of getting up there and back. And I don't know if you heard the post-match pod, but I was still stuck in traffic near Hounslow at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, looking at all the technology. Mark was driving. And yeah, we didn't hang around. Let's put it like that. But yeah, we were looking at Waze. We looked at Google Maps. We looked at Apple Maps, and they're all saying we'll get there in time. But traffic around Birmingham was just awful, and it was just like, are we going to be walking in at half time and just wasting a whole afternoon? But fortunately, we walked in just as the whistle went for the start of the game. It couldn't have been timed any better for us. Hope everyone got back in one piece as well. Looking back at Wednesday, now the dust has settled a bit, do you think that Thomas thought that Man United were better than they actually were? I mean, we were set up to, really kind of contain them if we could and just stay in the game until 30 minutes to go. Do you think we should have gone for it a bit more?
I mean, hindsight's a beautiful thing, but probably yes. That sort of stay in the game for the first 20 minutes, half hour, has served us well before in the past. And catch on the break and all that, it's worked before. And it might have, on a different day, it might have worked. But there was just a little bit of sort of deference, a little bit of just kind of wariness. It just, the team just seemed wary in that first half hour, like, don't slip up. And it sort of showed in the kind of, we didn't look quite as confident and there wasn't as much pomp as there usually is. But I do think, to take nothing away from Man United in their narrow 1-0 win, Ten Hag clearly learned his lessons from the fixture at the G-Tech, and they didn't allow us to play very much in those opening stages. They were on us and we were pinned back into our box. And so it's one of those, on another day it could have gone the other way, but it was just... It wasn't our day.
It was unlike Brentford. I thought we're normally a little bit more adventurous than that, and that's not to say, like, you know, we shouldn't be naive and just go for it every game, but not a lot. There was not a lot of quality there either. I mean, our passing was poor. Some of the decision making was average, and there was some really kind of some meh performances in there as well. But it's you're going to get that. It's a 3-game week, and I guess it is Old Trafford. However you want to wrap it up, we're not. I drove past the Bescot Walsall on the way back, and I looked over and I thought, oh God, we used to have to go there. And we're thinking about where we're driving back from. And people say, oh yeah, blah blah blah, we're here now. But it is Old Trafford. You can't get that out of your head, surely.
No, they're not. Man United aren't the team that they were in their Premier League pomp, but they're still Manchester United. They're still, as you say, it's Old Trafford. Those words have lights around them for almost every team out there. So it's a weird one. I'm already looking forward rather than looking backwards on that one. I thought we looked a lot better with the substitutions. That triple sub that Thomas made looked a lot better. I thought Sharda looked very good, and I'd quite like to see Sharda start tomorrow, because he looked very good.
Agreed. Yeah, Sharda was asking some serious questions of some seriously good players. He knocked the ball round and just kind of, I don't know how he did that. he looks supremely confident, and if only he could have found that finish when he was through on goal with De Gea in front of him, that would have capped off what's been an impressive start to his Brentford career. I think we're expecting some really good things. Yeah, obviously there's some hype, but he's representing Germany now as a first team player. He's scored, he set up the goal against Fulham. He had a really good first half at Southampton. The more I see of him, the more excited I get. And I'm not going to apologise for getting excited about new signings. Yes, there's obviously some improvements. Yes, there's a long way to go. No, he's not the finished article, but he's in a red and white striped shirt. We've got an option to buy him as a full-time B in the summer. I don't see any reason why we won't exercise that right, do you?
No, absolutely not. No, I don't think I've seen a loan to buy that hasn't become a buy. Like, they always go through. So I'm very excited to see more of him. He's a massive, massive upgrade on Philipp Hoffmann. I love Hoff, but he's a massive upgrade on our last big German striker. He's got all that sort of raw potential, and it's just a case of kind of honing it and getting him into the system, the Brentford system. But I want to see him on Saturday. I think Newcastle are good. That Newcastle are a good type, good team. But their defence can be got at, and Sharda running at Dan Burn has got my mouth watering already.
Yeah, I agree. But let's go back to rainy Old Trafford, Wednesday night, straight after the game. I caught up with a fair few Bees fans, and let's hear what they said after that defeat.
Definitely the first half was Man United. It's a good lot of opportunities coming from them, culminating in their goal. But we did need to mix it up in the second half, and the three substitutions all at the same time really did make a difference. I think Josh De Silva, Kevin Sharda and Shanda Baptiste put in a great shift, some really good football, and started giving us opportunities with a really clear chance by Kevin Sharda. That's going to look quite good on the highlights. I'd like to see that one again, definitely.
We made a big improvement with the subs. First half too passive, sat back too much, and midfield arguably a bit too weak.
I thought first half were very poor. We never closed them down quick enough. I thought we should have been better in the first half. He's made some changes, brought on a bit of pace, and I thought we were excellent second half, to be honest, man. I thought we were much better. We managed to contain them a bit more. But all in all, I mean, you can't be grumbling at 1-0, but I thought we could have done better in the first half.
The pitch is soaking wet. You've got to take a few players out sometimes. It's all like light-hearted. They had two booked for quite big tackles in the first half, and we were like, with a couple on that far corner, with a couple of them pulled out, and you're thinking, you've got to go through them. Give them something to think about, and the pace did change it. So they they look frightened when the pace come on. So
it looked to me like we came here to try and sort of almost conserve energy and try and just basically see out 60 minutes, hopefully still be at 0-0, and then maybe try and, because the first half we didn't show any sort of attacking intent. I don't know, and was maybe that was the plan. I mean, every now and then we got the ball, things didn't fall for us at all in the first half. So, you know, maybe we could have got a little bit more out of it. But I don't think we'd have made those changes as early if it'd still been 0-0. And then once you made the changes, you know, I thought we played really well.
There's the Bees fans giving us their opinions straight after the final whistle, straight from the heart, and pretty much word for word what we've just said as well. I don't think there's many Bees fans that have got a different way of looking at that game. Yeah, it was important that we didn't expose ourselves early and get blown away, as it were. But you know, once you realise that Man United weren't quite on it, the shooting was woeful, everything was going over or wide, I think, you know, we should have just gone for it a little bit more. But there you go, as you said, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Are you feeling a bit funky, Lewis? Or are you feeling a bit more factual? Where are you at this morning?
I mean, generally, I'm a bit more punk than funk, Dave. But I'm always open to a little bit of funk and some facts.
If I put if I played a combination of the both, would that be something you'd be interested in?
Hit me with it.
Right, I will. Jonathan Birchall, JB, Super B, Fact, and the Funk Man. He is going to give us some facts and funk about the last few games and about the visit of Newcastle United. Cheers, JB. Take it away.
Are you ready for this? I told you it was coming. Who? JB. And he's ready to stock it to you one time. Get it.
Hello, Jonathan Birchall here again. As we enter the final quarter of the season, it was a couple of games this week which only produced a point. Although over 100,000 fans saw those two games. 73,309 at Old Trafford was slightly down on last season, but still the second highest crowd ever to watch one of our games. For Ivan Toney, it was 10,000 down on the 83,947 who witnessed his England debut at Wembley. Back to Brighton, and it was one of those unusual ones where we had no corners. Statistically for us, that happens once every couple of seasons, but it's the second time in the last 9 seasons that's occurred at Brighton. The other was a 1-0 win in January 2015 when Andre Gray scored the only goal of the game. The United game was heading the same way, but we rewarded our first after an hour. Pontus and Pinnock both scored on Saturday. We've not seen two centre-backs on a league score sheet since August 2017, when then-captain John Egan and Andres Belgian netted in the 4-3 defeat to Nottingham Forest at Griffin Park. In our history, we've had 5 previous home league fixtures against this Saturday's visitors Newcastle, but no win for 75 years. None of those home fixtures have ever been draws. Although with us being the Premier League's draw specialists with 13, and Newcastle second with 11, you couldn't rule out a first home draw at the weekend.
Some really good knowledge in there, as always. Thanks, mate. We move on. We move on to Newcastle, the form team at the moment, 4 straight wins, and they had a cracking midweek result at West Ham United. They blew the Hammers away 5-1. There was some calamitous defending in there by West Ham, which may flatter the final scoreline slightly. But, you know, being no doubt that Newcastle, there's a swagger about them at the moment. They beat Man United last weekend. And, you know, it was a tricky one. West Ham are down there battling. Well, don't know how battling somehow, but I mean, they should be battling, whether they are battling. But they are in a relegation scrap. If they didn't think they are before, they certainly are now. And they came away with a 5-1 win. They will be quite confident about coming to New Griffin Park. We'll be speaking to Matty from the Gallagher end in a minute. He's got all the insider knowledge. How are you looking at the visit of the Magpies, Lewis, and Eddie Howe?
I should confess that I have an irrational dislike of Eddie Howe. I don't know where it comes from, but he just, there's something about the man that rubs me up the wrong way. But there's no denying that he has got that Newcastle team playing fantastically, and he's really got them playing for each other and working as a cohesive unit. They've had their little blip. All teams have a little blip. They've had their little blip and it's behind them, and they are in good form. But I think they are there to be got at as well. Like, even West Ham during the week, who were not good, scored against them. And I think it probably is going to define our season, the rest of our season, this game on Saturday, because, you know, that whole, us fans, we looked at the fixture list and we were like, we've got to get our points before April, because look at that run-in, before May, because look at that run-in, and we've got our points, and it could be quite easy to take your foot off the throttle. But that sort of pack that we're in at the moment with Villa and Brighton and Fulham, it's very close, it's very congested, and we could still finish higher up the table. So Saturday sort of defines whether we're on the beach or whether we're still going for finishing as high as we possibly can, I think, for me. And I think it's going to be a really good game, and I think I'd like to think that Thomas and the boys are going to go for it.
I'd hope that you're correct in that. Yeah, I mean, I think the band of final positions that we're looking at is anywhere between, you know, it's like 6th and 10th or 11th, perhaps, if it doesn't go the way we hoped. You know, we're still actually only 10 points behind Newcastle. Let's not forget that. You know, that's a kind of, that shows you what our season's been like, and it shows you what's you know, we're capable of achieving with, you know, a string of good results. And I like you, was looking at the run-in and thing, you know, not filled with dread, but, you know, there's some cracking games there. And now we're safe, you know, surely it is.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
The incentive is to just go and take as many scalps as possible and to really just go for it. I mean, we'll see what the attitude is tomorrow. And I just hope there's not a kind of a sense of kind of we're safe. It's a bit of on the beach. I don't think that's in our nature, but, you know, the defensive displays at Brighton and Man United kind of were needed, probably. But, you know, I go back to my point that once you realise that Man United weren't as good as Brighton, we could probably got a little bit more adventurous at that point. Newcastle have got a lot of threats. Sam Maximan, Kieran Trippier's boot is a golden one. There's a few players in there that will concern us, Lewis. Who stands out for you in that Newcastle team?
I saw a comment from my irrational nemesis during the week where Eddie Howe talked about rotation and he talked about switching up Callum Wilson and Alexander Isaac. And I think Isaac came on, didn't he? He came on as a sub, but he got a nice rest. So I fear for that on Saturday. And Trippier, like you say, I mean, Trippier's been amazing for my fantasy football team, but I will gladly bin those points off if he has a stinker on Saturday.
Yeah. Let's go over to Matty from the Gallagher and let's hear what he's got to say. Over to you, Matty.
Hello everyone, this is Matthew from the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel, here to talk everything Newcastle and give a little preview ahead of our game on Saturday. Now, in terms of our season so far, I can't complain whatsoever. There's been a few dodgy spells, where, especially at the start, where we couldn't convert these draws into wins. And there's been a couple of dodgy games here and there a few months ago. But other than that, I really can't complain. We've just won our fourth game in a row. We've been to a cup final first in 20-plus years. And we're fighting for Champions League football. Whether we'll get it, you know, I think it's going to be a tight ask. But the fact we're fighting up there just shows how much this team has improved in such a short space of time. If you had told me this is where we would be at this point in the season, I'd have snapped your hand off at the start of it. And for me, it's down to one man, and that's Mr. Eddie Howe. His staff have done brilliantly as well, but he has really instilled a confidence, an organisation, a work ethic in this side. And yes, we've spent money, we've brought in some fantastic players, the Sven Botmans, Alexander Isaks of the world, Bruno Guimaraes as well, but we are still getting a massive tune out of the likes of Joe Willock, Joe Linton, Fabian Scher. These are players that were there well before the takeover, and they are key players for Newcastle now, and that's because of the confidence Eddie Howe has instilled in them. I am so happy with the job that he's doing, and long may it continue. And if we get European football this season, whether that be Champions League, Conference League, Europa League, I'll take any of it. And it's how we manage that next season, if we get it, with the squad that we have. Because so far, I mean, this squad, it's got some great players, but we're a few injuries away from having a very weak bench. Our last couple of games, we've shown that with everyone fit and firing, we're able to bring Anthony Gordon, Isak, Joe Willock off the bench like we did against West Ham, change the front three with quality players, and if we can do that in most positions, that'll put us in good stead. But right now, I just don't think the squad's just there. Jacob Murphy's the world, all respect to them, the Javier Manquillos. They're going to be players that, as much as they've tried a lot over the last few seasons and really trying to, you know, affect games, they're not going to be good enough for where we want to go. And that's, again, with all due respect to their efforts. So, I mean, our team now, you know, you look at the quality that's peppered around it. I said Sven Botman, he's been a stalwart at the centre-half position. But again, he's found a great partner in Fabian Scher, who's been there at Newcastle for a good 6-7 years now. A fantastic player, Swiss international. And again, a player that maybe looked like he was out the door under Steve Bruce, but Eddie Howe has took him under his wing and made him, again, a brilliant player alongside Sven Botman. But I think when you're looking out for players for Newcastle, number one is Bruno Guimaraes. Bruno Guimaraes is probably the best player I've seen at Newcastle in a good few years. He's control of the ball in midfield. He's a little bit of a goal threat going forward, although he wasn't at his previous club. But, you know, the forward areas, Alan Saint-Maximin, we all know what he can do when he's fit and firing. He's really had a good run of form the last couple of games, getting assists in both the Man United and West Ham games. And it's good that we've got options at centre-forward now. Callum Wilson, I think we'll all be aware of the threat he possesses. But Alexander Isak is finally getting a run of games after the injury he got that kept him out for a good couple of months. And he looks like he can be lethal. He's quick, he's strong, he's tall, he's awkward. He can finish from outside the box, he can finish from inside the box, and he's good in the air. But he's still only young. I think he's still, there's a bit of raw talent there that's going to be moulded by Eddie Howe. But yeah, I think we should be looking out for players like Isak. But, you know, this squad is slowly becoming, well, especially the starting 11, slowly becoming a team that have got quality in a lot of positions, and hopefully we can refine that and add to that in the summer. In terms of what we're going to do this season, I think as long as we get European football, then that will dictate us getting maybe 4 or 5 players in the summer, because like I say, the squad's just not there yet. However, if you know, you get Conference League, and no disrespect to the teams in that league, maybe your Jacob Murphys of the world will do jobs in those, on those Thursday night games. But if we finish in the Champions League, there needs to be 3 or 4, 5 quality additions. Now, will we make the Champions League? Me personally, I'm known as a pessimist. I don't think we will. I just don't, because of that squad game. There's still going to be, there's a lot of football still to be played. There's 10 games or so, and I think that a few injuries could cost us. Our running is not too bad. However, we've still got the likes of Brentford next on Saturday. By no means an easy game. Brentford are doing so well. They've only lost six games all season. Like us, they've drawn a few, but they've been very, very good. And you've got the likes of Aston Villa, who've hit a massive run of form now under Unai Emery. We're playing them after Brentford. So they're two huge games. If we get 6 points out of those next two games, I might, start to think we've got more of a chance. And then we've got Spurs at home, and let's see what type of state they're in. They're a club in turmoil at the moment, so let's see who's managing them and how they're doing, because, we just don't know with Spurs. But the last time we played Brentford, St James's Park, 5-1. Did you deserve to get beat 5-1? Absolutely not. There was a couple of mistakes by you guys. I believe the last goal was an own goal, as far as I can recall. We did go 2-0 up, and I think deservedly so, but you guys came straight back into the game, got the penalty from Tony, and I thought, okay, we're in for it here. It was very, very similar to the game we've just witnessed on Wednesday night against West Ham. Maybe not as many mistakes like West Ham did, but, it looked like at half-time, this is going to be a tricky one. We're going to have to really pull our socks up to get something from this game, to get these 3 points and not throw away the two-goal lead we got. But thankfully, we came out. Bruno Guimarães scored to make a 3-1, and then it got a bit easier from there. It was part of a good winning run that we got at that point in the season, and set us in good stead and put us up where we are now. I think this weekend it's going to be the same, in terms of it's going to be a hard game. I don't think we're going to win 5-1 by no means. I think it's just down to who scores the first goal, as much as that's a bit of a cliche. If we can score the first goal, I'm confident that we can get a result. But again, at your guys' stadium, it generates a great atmosphere, and you've got players there who are a worry for any side. Now, it's easy for me as a Newcastle fan to talk about Ivan Toney. He's a football fan, it's easy to talk about Ivan Toney. I appreciate he's got a cloud hanging over his head right now on whether this punishment's going to come through, how long it's going to be, how extensive it's going to be. But right now he's still playing, and if he plays on Saturday, he is a massive, massive threat. A big physical presence, quick, strong, great finisher, alive in the box, just a real handful of a player, and a player I'd love to see play for Newcastle, to be honest. However, you're more than just Ivan Toney, and if I was to really pick one player that I think's got a really good threat, and I know, again, it's not exactly the most unique of choices, but Brian Mbeumo, really good players, formulated a good partnership with Ivan Toney or whoever else he plays with, or wherever he's played in that sort of front three. Great player, always busy, always a threat. So I think it'll all be about how quiet we can keep your forward players. We have got the best defence in the league, only conceding 20 goals so far this season. But again, we just need to be on our toes. We've shown a little bit of frailty, I think, especially last night. Dan Byrne at left back could be a sort of way in for you guys. I love Dan Byrne, but I think he really isn't an orthodox left back. He's 6'6", 6'7", not very fast, but again, for what he doesn't have in pace, he makes up for in defensive positioning, great determination, and he's able to sort of clear the ball when the ball comes over the top in the channels, and he's a threat from set pieces, although he hasn't really scored from one yet. So I think maybe if he plays, there could be some joy for Brentford down that side. All that being said, he has played left back in the best defence in the league pretty much all the way through this season, so we'll see what happens. In terms of prediction, I'm going to try and be optimistic. I'm going to say 2-1 Newcastle. I'm going to say we take a 2-0 lead and you guys pull one back to make it a bit nervy in the final stages. But honestly, it's going to be a really hard game for Newcastle. Brentford having a fantastic season. Long may it continue that they become solidified and a stalwart of Premier League football moving forward. The manager's doing a great job. The only real Brentford fan I've spoken to over the last a few years is Bean Billy. What a great guy. Loves football so much. And for him, I hope that Brentford can keep progressing, just keep there in the Premier League and keep giving you guys memories. Again, I think it's going to be 2-1. But all the best to you guys going to the games. I hope you have a good drink with a few Geordies who are going to be travelling down in their numbers. Safe travels to all of them. And if you ever want to come and listen to anything more about Newcastle, you know where to find us, the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. But all the best. Have a great long weekend, everyone, and stay safe. And I'll catch you again soon.
confident magpie, as you would imagine. Someone who's obviously enjoying his season. Someone who's enjoying the kind of phoenix, not phoenix from the flames, but the renaissance of a big, big club. You know, I always look at Newcastle and don't get too excited. I look at them as a kind of a West Hamish kind of club. You know, it's they've never won anything in my lifetime. That's not me trolling them. That's just a fact. You know, it's like they've got a huge reputation. Their fan base is legendary for obvious reasons. There, you know, they're bonkers. They follow their team everywhere. They always get behind them, and I'm expecting big noise from that corner of the G Tech tomorrow. We have to get behind our team as well, don't we, Lewis?
Yeah, we do. There's been you scratch the surface of social media, and there's a lot of talk about how, you know, the atmosphere isn't always the best at the G Tech. I sort of wish this was a 5:30 kickoff. Those extra 2 hours those extra 2 hours in the pub.
Yes.
Into the fire, don't they?
Yeah, it's not. Totally
do. So, and as you say, that I think the away corner is probably going to be the loudest tomorrow that's going to be all season. They're going to make a right old racket. So we got to respond, and we got to make a right old racket, and we got to get behind our team. I think it does matter a little bit that, you know, Brighton and Man U are away, and this is a home game. Obviously that makes a difference. So. Yeah, we've got to be on it. We've all got to have 3 Weetabix.
Three pints. I'm gonna have the three. You can have the Weetabix, mate. I'll go for the pride myself. But there you go. Give us a prediction, mate.
I'm gonna go for a Manchester City-esque 2-1. I think it's gonna be a tight game. But the sun's shining. It's a lovely 4-day weekend, and if we're going to be optimistic, let's be fully optimistic. It'll be 1-1, and then we'll score like Vissa in the last minute. The roof will go off, free from desire blast, and a happy Easter weekend to all.
I'm going to almost mirror that. I'm going to go 3-2 instead of 2-1. So yeah, I'm predicting a little bit more goal action, a little bit more shaky defending, but goals, mate. Goals at Easter. Well, thanks for coming on, Lewis. All the best wishes still go out to Billy and the family. He's had a bit of medical news about his son, which is all right, I think. And I'm looking forward to hearing him back on the podcast next week. Got a week off, not a week off, as in like there's like not a weekend off. We've got Wolves away the following weekend, but there's no midweek next week, so we can have a longer look back over the last few weeks and a couple of features which we've been planning to do, but obviously with the fixtures coming thick and fast, it only gives you enough time really to just cover the matches and look back at the previous one. So yeah, cheers Lewis, thanks for coming on. Subscribe to Besotted on all good podcast channels. Buy us a beer. It's always nice when you go over to Ko-fi and just a little bit of a contribution. Does pay for a couple of beers on a match day, which they always taste more delicious than when we are paying for them ourselves. So yeah, thanks to everyone who supports us. Get behind the team tomorrow. Cheer Brentford on to a famous win. We haven't beaten Newcastle for 70 odd years. We've been setting records week in, week out this season. Let's go out and set out another one and beat the Newcastle United. Cheers. Come on, you bees. Come on, you bees.
Come on, you bees. Brentford FC, come on. Come on, you Brentford. Come on. Come on, you bees. Come on. Come on, you Brentford. Come on. Sit back, you bees.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.